And you're very welcome back to the programme. My apologies to Councillor Terry Crossan. I think I might have referenced him as Councillor Nicholas Crossan. My apologies, Terry. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. Bobo says on YouTube, Greg, let's add to your justification for a young girl of 13 is okay to drive to the ones doing the donuts. Maybe the ones doing the donuts are the future famous racing drivers. Well, firstly, I don't want to weaponize the awful recent death of that 13-year-old, but it was an organised event in a controlled environment with safety measures that obviously we're talking about someone passing, and that will be investigated, I am sure. That is obviously very different to probably fellas in their 20s closing down roads and diffing on very busy roundabouts, but I understand your point of view. Leo, Legio, is it Leo? I beg your pardon. It's Legio, is it?
Yeah, it's close. Legio.
Legio. I'd prefer to go with exactly what it is, Leo. Thanks so much for your time. Leo, Legio is Vice President of the Irish Road Victims Association. And you represent, you know, people who know all about the dangers on the roads, and we'll get to that in a moment. We are speaking in the context of, you know, what we're seeing quite regularly is just dangerous driving, diffing on busy roundabouts, roads effectively being closed down in daylight hours for people to take part in this really dangerous driving. And we don't seem to be able to get a handle on it, Leo.
No, because the reason we're not getting a handle is because we're not treating it. It's not being treated as a real crime. Mm. As far as we're concerned, people are getting slaps on the wrist, suspended sentences, punitive fines, and ridiculous 3 penalty points, so they're getting 4 chances every time they're caught. And until we start getting tough, and I mean tough, these fatalities and serious injuries are going to continue, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that leads us into our more general conversation. The Irish Road Victims Association are calling for a drastic change in relation to punishment. What are you calling for?
As regards to speeding, we want graduated speeding penalties brought in. The more you speed over the speed limit, the more severely you're punished, higher penalty points and bigger fines. For you, mobile phone use, basically double penalty points across the line is the only way it's going to solve this problem.
So effectively, you know, people might see it as having 4 chances now. 3 points would jump to 6 points for using your phone.
Now you have 1 chance and that's it. If you caught a second time, you're off the road.
And we see an awful lot of horror stories of the type of activity people get up to with their phones and screens behind the wheel, Leo.
You might have people coming on sticking up for people using the phones, but if you're talking about, you're giving out about speeding, they'll come up at mobile phones, distracted driving is worse. If you talk about something else, the drink driving, mobile phones. So everybody knows mobile phones is one of the biggest killers on the roads. So let's treat it as a crime. And you're endangering people's lives.
And in terms of speeding, are you saying, so if you were doing 88 in an 80, you know, 98 in an 80, 120 in an 80, that the points might be 3 points for one, you know, 5 and then 7 or 6 and then 9 or whatever.
Because at the moment now, if you're caught 5 kilometres over the speed limit, you're penalised the same as if you're 80 kilometres an hour over the speed limit, which there's no justice in that. And Shane Ross tried to bring this in years ago and it was almost going to come through. Then there was a change of government and it's been thrown in the back boiler. Like, we can't see the point in someone a couple of kilometres an hour over the speed of being fined as someone going double the speed limit, especially in 50 kilometre an hour zones. They should be severely punished.
Yeah, and we don't have to guess of the consequences of speed because we know. But if it's a pedestrian, a cyclist or another vehicle, as the speed increases, the risk of serious injury and then, of course, death, we know what the story is there. We don't have to guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I've done talks for the Lifesaver program, and the guards show videos of a car traveling at 65 kilometres an hour and hitting someone. And by just reducing it by 5 kilometres an hour, the reaction time is increased, and that person only suffered a minor injuries. So a reduction of 5 kilometres an hour, it makes a huge difference.
Why? I mean, obviously, we hear these calls from the likes of yourselves at the Irish Road Victims Association and other groups. Why do you think the general population aren't screaming out for something like this? Because, you know, any of us could be the victim of this at any time. Why do you not think this sort of... Do you think it's the public don't want to... for them to be punished for any of their indiscretions? Or why don't we sort of as a population not make the connection between what you're saying and saving lives to the point whereby the government couldn't resist doing it?
It's something I just don't understand myself. Like, there will be people out there complaining about the way people are driving on the roads, but they won't speak up about it. They need to speak up about it. Like, we do talks with transition year students, and we try to encourage them, speak up, talk to your parents, talk to your friends, tell them it's not right to be using your mobile phone, tell your parents or family, don't be afraid to tell people, don't be afraid to get out of a car if one of your friends is acting a maggot. But I don't know what's the mentality of the people.
We don't want to be inconvenienced ourselves. Like, let's say, for instance, the population generally were prepared to give their driver's license to Facebook. There would be no under 18s exposed to harm on the internet because it'd be very easy to police. And if we all kind of wanted, you know, no fatalities or to reduce them as much as is possible, of course, we would all go, right, okay, listen, we'll all back the Irish Road Victims Association with this. But I think once the shock of a recent event or something dies down, Leo, we kind of go, right, okay, I don't really want to risk that being me until the next tragedy happens, and then maybe, you know, people might think twice at that point. Maybe it's just a human condition, I don't know.
I don't think it is a human condition. It's just, I don't know, like you said, it's, when there's a couple of fatalities, it's in the news, it's in the papers and on the radio for a day or two, but after that, it's forgotten with. The families have gone through that. It's not forgotten with them. That stays with them for a lifetime.
We often talk about enforcement, Leo. You know, if such a measure were to be introduced, the penny would drop quite quickly because there's been, I think a pretty big level of detection in the first 3 months of this year. Is this in relation to the 6,000 people fined? Is this in relation to speeding, dangerous driving across the board?
I think so. Yeah, you see, every week, you see, every time the guards put out a warning, there's still people flaunting it. They're not afraid. Mm. And so the detection rates are, look, everybody knows there's not enough enforcement. But even with the enforcement, the drivers are not afraid. They're not afraid of getting caught because they know they're not going to get caught. And like I said, when they are caught, they're going to get a little fine. And 3 penalty points.
Mm. The only thing is like
we need proper deterrence, and the proper deterrence are not there at the moment.
The only other flip side of it is, Leo, and I'm just platforming this, I don't know what the right thing to do is necessarily, but like, say for instance, I've only ever had penalty points twice. Not only, that's a lot, right? But it was, I think I was down in Galway and I wasn't used to Galway, and I did 56 on a 50 up the road and then 56 on a 50 down the road, and I thought it was 80, right? So I thought I was actually being a good driver. That would be me off the road for a year, potentially. I think that's kind of what worries people as well.
I suppose, but you have to be careful. Like I said, if you're caught with those six penalty points, like you're looking for speeding, like if it's graduated penalty points, if you're only a couple of kilometres an hour over the speed, you're not going to get 6 penalty points.
Yeah, I was supposed to. You did say that, all right, okay.
It'll be graduated.
All right, let's see what the public think,
The likes of mobile phones, there is absolutely no excuse for it.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
And drink driving the same.
Yeah, okay. I was just trying to pick out reasons as to why there might be some resistance to this, Leo, and I was trying to give my own, you know, honest sort of example. But yeah, I take your point.
Yeah.
Okay, Leo, thank you so much for your time. That's Leo Ligio, who's the Vice President of the Irish Road Victims Association. They're calling for penalty points to be doubled to crack down on dangerous driving. Gradient increase of points for speeding. And pretty much zero tolerance as well in relation to mobile phone use. Is that something you would vote for? Let's say it was put out for a referendum. And if it isn't, why not? 086 60 25,000. Let's see if we can sort of get a listenership consensus there. Re the diffing and all that kind of stuff. There's one of those cars I've seen on numerous videos on Facebook driving absolutely recklessly. I'm at a loss to figure out what the fun is in that type of thing. And although the cars being used for diffing are impossible to identify, as in general they're out of the state cars, number plates are usually fake and in many cases no number at all. But we've heard about this. How are the cars getting there? You know, like, I had a car to NCT and I had a car to NCT and I would have been covered to drive it with my insurance policy if it was taxed and the tax had elapsed. And I didn't want to, like, I did the right thing, but sometimes you feel like an idiot, you know. I didn't take the car to the NCT and then ended up having to rebook it and everything because I made a mistake. Because I was afraid, that if I drove from home to the NCT centre, well, A, I'd be breaking the law, right? But B, I wouldn't do it anyway because I'd be afraid of getting caught. You know, I mean, am I naive here? Because we're accepting that these cars might have fake plates, they might not have insurance. How do they get to there? Are they coming in on flatbeds? Are the car, you know, are they spotted coming in on flatbed trailers, or can they just drive around and they're immune to the number plate recognition software that we're told that's everywhere? Because those of us that are, for the most part, law compliant are afraid of getting caught. Well, how could these people and people accept that they've just got no risk of being caught whatsoever, that they can just do it? Tell Paul Cannon to cop himself on. There can't be two laws. Tell the guards to wake up. They should be sitting at the Manor roundabout catching people 5 kilometres over the speed limit, and they should be able to apprehend these people. Councillor Canning, you are a mile out. These thugs don't want to compete. They want the thrill of the chase. Another dangerous driving is happening in Drumbarna between Newton and Manor Cunningham every weekend. It is a small junction. We've small tractors that are up and down the road. Someone's going to be killed. If the Gardaí were able to attend the protest on Saturday, surely they can police the roads. Morning, Greg. If they can bring in extra guards, riot units, unmarked guards, cars and a helicopter for a peaceful protest, then surely they can get a few extra unmarked guard cars to catch these dangerous drivers, which is a number one priority to make the roads safe. And I get where you're coming from, but sometimes, you know, there are specific policing operations that you're going to see more resources. But an interesting connection. It lasts a lot longer than 5 minutes, the diffing. They can be there up to half an hour a night. I see it many nights. It's going on for years, which is crazy that people just can do whatever they like and not fear being caught. What does he think about tailgating? That was just coming for our last caller. I'm sure he believes tailgating is dangerous. Right, back with more shortly. If you're on social media at all, you would be aware of speculation or claims that the Strand Hotel in Ballyliffin is to be turned into an iPass centre. And many people seem opposed to this. Amongst them is Sinn Féin Chief Whip, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin. Good morning, Padraig. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you.
So just to be absolutely clear, are you satisfied that there is no intention for an iPass centre at the Strand Hotel in Ballyliffin? You've been told that, but just the way you phrased a post at the weekend, are you satisfied that there is no plans or will for an iPass centre at the Strand Hotel?
No, Greg, I wouldn't be 100% satisfied. Unfortunately, this department have treated communities across Donegal very badly. I believe that they have again and again just taken advantage of buildings where people have sought to make profits rather than what the best place for asylum seekers would be, or the best place in terms of communities and amenities. So they've got this wrong again and again. So, I mean, the concern right now is that the owners of the Strand Hotel are applying for a planning exemption. They're using emergency legislation that the government brought in, Section 5 legislation. So they're applying for that. There's a further information note from Donegal County Council. I understand that's around sewerage infrastructure for the hotel. But I would expect that they will get this planning exemption. And the issue for me is, if they get planning exemption cleared, does that mean they'll get a contract? So I need absolute certainty on that. Mm. I emailed the department officials last Friday, and I asked them to be very clear, if this gets a planning exemption, will they give it a contract? I want absolute certainty so the community know where they stand.
Just in relation to that, the overwhelming majority of the Section 5s that I can find, and I haven't been able to find one in relation to this property, the council has rejected them. So why are you of the feeling that the council might grant an exemption, a planning exemption, in the case of this property?
Well, it used to be a hotel. It would look at the occupancy rates that they would have had back then. So, I mean, you can't be certain. The council would be looking at fire safety. They'd be looking at health and safety in terms of these applications. Quite a few of them have been successful, but it's important for listeners to know this, that just because you get a planning exemption for an IPAS centre doesn't mean you're going to get one. I know that Donegal County Council now have a policy, and they've conveyed this to the government, that Donegal has taken more and hosted more centres for Ukrainian refugees and asylum seekers than any other county in the state per head of capita, even though we have a humanitarian crisis with defective locks. And I think that's just wrong. I think it's a failure in government policy. So I'm very clear, there should be no more IPAS centres in Donegal. That's actually the policy of Donegal County Council, and they should listen to our council and to our people.
But it's the council that decide whether a Section 5 would be granted or not. And again, I'd ask, given the policy that you've just stated, I'm confused as to why you believe then that the council would go against their own policy and grant this Section 5.
Well, you see, it's two separate matters. So, and it's unfortunately, planning is based on government legislation.
Right.
That's what they have to adhere to. The government legislation around IPAS centres is, in my view, a low bar. It's emergency legislation. I wonder, is it really still necessary at all? So you see an awful lot, a fair few people have applied for this. It is opportunistic. There's a lot of money in this for the people who apply for it. And unfortunately, I mean, in recent years, it has been based on wherever a building was available, they seem to have just taken it. I mean, in Donegal, there was no examination of was there enough school places? Was there enough doctor places? But no reflection at all of the humanitarian crisis we have. And you know it, Greg, better than anybody, what we are dealing with. People can't find alternative accommodation. People are in awful situations. A lot of people are holding back on the remediation of their homes because they do not have alternative accommodation. So in that type of an environment, it's just wrong to proceed. So you have two separate things. You have the application, which is based on government legislation, so the council's hands are tied to a large extent. But then there's the policy. And in fairness to Donegal County Council, when it comes to the policy, my understanding is they're not recommending any more IPAS centres be located in Donegal.
Yes, but they did recently grant Section 5s to premises in Letterkenny, for an example. So Section 5s are still being granted, and presumably it's because they have to track the legislation. So to be absolutely clear, the wording from the community engagement team was that they were offered this accommodation, but it's no longer being under consideration. Now, that doesn't tell us that they didn't say, if you can get the right clearance, the right planning clearance, we can reconsider it. Is it that lack of certainty that concerns you, that this talks of nothing to the future? It talks about one offer and where, that offer stands now. But at the same time, the wheels are still turning in terms of potentially getting an exemption for this property, and it might be revisited. So are you taking a cautious approach at this point then, as I've outlined there?
Yeah, I am. And Greg, I've been very critical of the department and the government, how they've handled this in Donegal over recent years. There's a lot of distrust in the community. I relayed, whenever I got that email, and I got it a few weeks ago, I relayed that to concerned people in the community, and I asked them to circulate it widely in the community. But the feedback is that there's still a fear that if the exemption is granted, that this could go ahead. So I'm now looking for absolute certainty, no doubt about it, that they're not going to use this as an IPAS centre. By the way, I've sought clarification in relation to buildings in Buncrana and Letterkenny recently, and in those circumstances too, the department came back and ruled out IPAS centres. I think there was about three different buildings that we asked about. So there's a number of buildings where, in recent responses I'm getting, they don't appear to be going ahead with IPAS centres, even though the people who own those buildings would like them to be IPAS centres, clearly to make profit over the heads of the community. So, there have been assurances recently, but I'm afraid there's a lot of distrust and people need absolute guarantees at this stage.
Okay. I just wonder why there hasn't been a decision made as it relates to the IPAS Centre, because there was a decision date due on that, a decision due on that on the 23rd of February, which is just confusing me a little bit. And yet it's blank, if you know what I mean. The space where a decision to be issued is blank in relation to that development. So I'll just read this out for the benefit of the listeners. Mark Cross and Care of Urbanark Limited, use of the existing hotel as temporary accommodation for international protection applicant Strand Hotel, Shore Road, Ballyliffin. The request was made on the 27th of the 1st. A decision was due on the 23rd of the 2nd. And there is no decision in relation to that as of yet. So I don't know what that tells us.
Yeah, I spoke to a senior planner in the last number of days, late last week, and they confirmed that a further information was sought. My understanding
on the 11th, actually, of February. Yeah, that's correct. That was they sought that on the 11th of February.
And that has been, the further information has been submitted, and they're currently considering the matter. But I would be concerned, because the emergency legislation and the fact that it has been a hotel, you know, I would say there's a fair chance, not certain, but a fair chance they'll get it. But what I need is certainty from government that they're going to take the guidance from Donegal County Council. They're going to listen to the view of the community. You know, this is a community absolutely traumatised by defective blocks. You know, dealing with a humanitarian crisis that has actually hosted more,
how have we got like close on 20 applications in Donegal for IPAS centres? Often from companies down the country or companies with, you know, one person listed as a director or something. Like, what is happening on a national scale that there could be one company with 5-6 applications for exemptions in right across Donegal? Like, I'm not expecting you to be able to answer that, if you know what I mean, but like, that's like me applying for 6 IPAS centres in Kerry or, you know, Leitrim.
Well, what happened in recent years is that business people networked together. They looked to secure buildings and properties in Donegal and around the country, but particularly in Donegal. And it was successful. They made a hell of a lot of money on the back of this. And obviously in Donegal, you would have more hotels maybe struggling than other parts of the country for obvious reasons. And, you know, our tourism and economy doesn't have the same performances down in the country. So there's a lot of that. And, you know, we've been asking questions. Like, for example, Matt Carfey is our spokesperson, deals with all of these matters. TD from Monaghan, and he had asked the minister, have they carried out a review? I mean, have they reviewed all of these decisions? Have they looked at the business cases for these decisions? What level of interaction was there with communities? And they actually haven't carried out a review. Now, the good news is Matt Carfey will chair the Justice and Home Affairs Committee in the Oireachtas. We also, Sinn Féin, are the chair of the Public Accounts Committee. And I can tell you, we will be bringing these people before the committees. We will be holding them to account, because there was absolute fortunes of money made over the heads of communities, and it is utterly wrong how it's been handled.
Like, there's one company based out of Santry in Dublin with a number of applications here in Donegal, in random places. And it's just like, where's the connection? But you've outlined it there. Deputy Parv McLaughlin, thanks very much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Greg. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. That's Sinn Féin Deputy Parv McLaughlin. Not satisfied that it is a fait accompli. A caller says, Greg, IPAS centres are exempt from planning. They can seek an exemption. They aren't exempt. There's been probably 12, 13 applications for an exemption to planning to Donegal County Council this year that have been rejected. So that's demonstrably not true at this time. Catherine Dillian is a representative of the residents and businesses in the Ballyliffin Clonmany area. Listening on there too. Deputy McLaughlin, Catherine, it's not certain that this hotel won't end up being an IPAS centre. That's the view of the deputy there.
Good morning. My name's Catherine Dillon. I am a concerned resident of Ballyliffin. Ballyliffin, from speed limit to speed limit, has 96 people 50% of them are elderly. The Strand Hotel, which is owned by Mark Crossan, can house up to 170 people. Our own residents are living in caravans due to MICA. They have no homes in Inishowen.
Listen, Catherine, stay where you are. I know you're probably reading, and it's sometimes you can lose where you're at, but we'll get your points out there. So just take a breath, and I'll ask you a couple of questions, if that's all right, Catherine, because I know it's an important issue for the local area, and you have a big responsibility. Further information was sought from the owners in relation to sewers and what have you, and I think you can talk of... a precedent in relation to this with concerns about the capacity of the sewer?
Totally. The sewerage system in Ballyliffin is not fit for purpose. The internet access, also the water, as we all know, Donegal County Council and Irish Water know all about the amount of water burst that we have in Ballyliffin and the Clonmany area. The Strand Hotel, I know Mark Crossan in his application, it was actually said that... the sewerage would be okay because it would just be running as a normal hotel. The Strand Hotel was never full to capacity 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It would have been maybe full at weekends. So it's going to be a huge strain on the area. Mm. And I just feel that, you know, it's just not fit for purpose.
And Catherine, whilst the deputy has got an assurance that it's not being considered, I think the caveat there is it's not being considered at this time, because obviously the process to try and use it as an iPass centre is continuing. So really, you, as residents, you don't have any guarantees at this, and it would be foolish for us to think otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah, and you actually mentioned a letter that was dated in February. Mm. That has actually been updated on the 24th of April, 2025. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, there's a discrepancy there. The local people are just not, you know, they're hearing, you know, mixed information from different sources and social media. Oh, it's great. This is not going to happen. Guys, this is going to happen if we don't do something about it. Again, it's our small village. It's just too small. We have one shop and one chip shop. We have a couple of schools in the area that are full to capacity already. There's no bus services. We have a chemist in Clonmany and a bigger shop. And that's all we have in this area. What are all these people going to do, whether it's 40, whether it's 140? There's only a couple of buses that come through Ballyliffin a day. You know, it's just not feasible.
And you're of the view, I don't think it would matter then, given what you said, what the makeup of the population might be. You know, often to mitigate this situation, people might say, well, it's mostly families. But you're saying, given the resources that's in the local area, even if it were families, that the resources aren't there to sustain a doubling of the population potentially.
Absolutely. And we're not talking about doubling. You know, like we don't know how many people will be brought into this area. And if it happens in this area, it's going to happen in Carndonagh. It's going to happen in Mallon. It's going to happen in Glenealy. It's going to happen all over. You know, there's not stopping buying a house and putting 20 people in a house. You know, it's just, again, I'm talking about Ballyliffin.
I know the point you're making. That no, you're what you're saying is this could set a precedent, effectively.
Yeah, and I want people to know. Nobody will call me a racist. Nobody. We're not talking about race. It's not. That's not up for discussion. It's the amount of people that is coming into our village. We cannot cope. Mm-hmm. Ballyliffin cannot cope with that amount of people coming in. I'd like to make a point as well about the letter from the community engagement team. It says on their site, the team does not have a role with the procurement of premises and allocation of new arrivals. I'm confused as to how they don't have a right, how they don't have a right saying who's coming in or who's going where. We actually found out during the week from a hotelier in Dublin, they're not housing families in hotels. They're housing families in homes that we have lack of in Ballyliffin and Clonmany and the whole of Ireland. They're housing single men in hotels. And that's what would be coming into our area. Mm.
Okay, well, I know there are some iPass facilities here in Letterkenny. It is a mix, but I do take your point. Look, there's, what is it, 1,800 iPass people in this county at the moment, and 700 are children. So, you know, what's the... Okay, listen, we can't get answers because this area is... This whole area, this space is... It's a bit cloak and daggers. You know, the days of local areas being consulted are gone. They got rid of that because of pushback. So we'll continue to try and find our answers, Catherine.
Can I just ask one question? At some stage, you know, it's been said that this is not going to become an iPass centre. We want confirmation. We want confirmation in a letter from the Department of Justice to confirm this. Okay. Because people's not sleeping. You know, and we all have personal reasons. I have a 94-year-old mother that lives 200 yards from the Strand Hotel. We've all got personal reasons. We need confirmation, and we need confirmation from the government, Donegal County Council, or whoever can give us confirmation that this will never be considered as an iPass centre, even if Mark Crossan sells it on. We just need confirmation.
Okay, thank you for that.
And we need to let people sleep at night.
Catherine Dillon, representative of the residents and businesses in the Ballyliffin Clonmany area. We have asked the owners for comment. We've got nothing back from them as of yet. A couple of you are asking what an iPass centre is. Well, you'd be more familiar with the direct provision phraseology. The iPass centres replaced direct provision. There came a point whereby the government made the decision to distribute international protection applicants throughout the country. So if you land in Dublin, say, for an example, with or without a passport, by the way, if you land in Dublin and you say, I'm fleeing a country because I don't believe it to be safe, I would like protection in Ireland, you are sent to an iPass centre whilst your application is being processed. Now, if you are unsuccessful in your application, you might be asked to leave the country. But what we know is that the majority of those that are then asked to leave the country don't leave the country. And this is no agenda. I'm only stating facts here. That's what an iPass centre is, and that's sort of how the process works. So when we talk of iPass centres, it could be a family or individuals or men, wherever it is, that are fleeing Sudan or wherever they might be fleeing. They land in Dublin and they say, we are seeking international protection, and they are then moved to iPass centres, international protection applicants. Centres, there you go. So that's what that is. Right, just want to mention a bingo night in aid of Huey's Corner. It takes place on Wednesday, eyes down at 8 p.m. The price is €12 per book, and there's a raffle on the night, and it's in the Carndonagh Community Centre. So you'd know Huey's Corner. They are the Child and Adolescent Therapeutic Centre. So if you like bingo and you like supporting great causes, get along to that. And speaking of such, there's 18 staff from Tata Consultancy Service. They're doing a sleep out on Friday night, the 9th of May. It's in aid of St. Columbkill Hostel. They'll be sleeping out from 9 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. And then they're heading down for 4 a.m. to take part into Darkness into Light. So at the ATU. So if you want to support them in what they're doing, it's going to be a long night for them, but they're doing it to support St. Columbkill's Hostel. Right, now... something emerged over the weekend, and it's in the town park in Letterkenny. Kids throwing large stones from a height onto a path on a pathway below. The concern is that it could have killed someone. These are big old stones, and it's not the first time. It's not isolated, because Sabina had this experience as well. Sabina, good morning to you. Hello, Sabina, are you there? No, I don't have you. I'll get back to you there in a moment. A caller says there are Section 5 applications for direct provision accommodation at a number of locations in the county, including Castlefin, Ballindrate and Letterkenny. These applications are for Transboil Limited, a Monaghan-based company. One is a change of use for the development under construction. As I say, a number of the applications, I read the list out last week, have been rejected. But Transboil, I thought their operational addresses in Dublin, but you probably know better. I'm concerned, Ballyliffin resident. I would like to know why Mark Crossan's application for an iPass centre in Ballyliffin was not considered, and it can it be considered again by a different person? Well, the process is still ongoing, by the way. So unless it's been updated and I can't find that information. Why can none of these local councillors and or TDs tell the truth about these iPass centres? Well, they don't have the information in a lot of cases. They get the information at short notice, and it's for obvious reasons. Sabina, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, how are you?
Sorry about that. We got cut off. No, I was talking about someone posting at the weekend. They were in the town park in Letterkenny, and there were kids throwing stones down from a height onto a pathway.
Yes.
And concerned that someone's head could be taken off them. God knows if you were walking a pram or something. And the big old rocks, yeah. I see them here. Sabina, it wasn't just a once-off, though, because you were out and about on Thursday. Is that right?
Yeah, so last Thursday, actually, when I have an appointment with my daughter in St. Conal Hospital, my partner took my two kids, 5 years old, and my toddler on the pram for rework, because normally the kids love the park, so we spend lots of time in the park. And wherever they cross the footpath on the very back park, someone just threw huge log of the, the wooden first, and then two huge stones, and the stones crashed on the footpath. So they are very lucky nothing happened, because my two kids was close of that.
And do they say anything or what's the story?
No, they just run away, and one guy just go close of them and try run up just check who is that, but they couldn't just catch them. And he just saw two boys around 13, 14 years old with the grey uniforms.
Mm.
And straight on after that, we just go to guards and we just reported that, because that's very dangerous, in my opinion.
Do you get the feeling that they're throwing them at people that are walking there? Like what? How could we figure out what their motivation is? But is it a case...
It's hard to say that they try, catch the people. It's hard to say, in my opinion. But doesn't matter to me. That's still if they catch it, because especially now when it's nice weather, lots of people and kids going around the park. So that's still very dangerous to me,
Yeah, I'm looking at the size of the stones here. The bottom line is if that hit anyone on the head, you're dead. Or if it was thrown into a pram or a pushchair. And I don't even think really from that raised view that these young people who it seems are responsible can actually see who is below them. They're just chucking. It's actually senseless what they're doing. I don't think they realise how dangerous this is.
Exactly. So even for adults, if they hit your head, you're just dead, especially for wee babies and kids. That can be extremely dangerous,
Yeah, all right,
and
okay.
That should be something done with that. We go just straight on to the guards and we reported that. And then we ask him maybe some advice how we can do any fence or anything to keep that area safe for kids so that's not happen again. So even teenage cannot cross that and shoot them stones again. So they say we have to contact with council and we planning to do that as well,
All right, okay. And, speaking publicly about these things helps as well, Sabina. I think you're covering all bases here because, maybe mums or dads need to have a chat if they, because maybe these young people don't actually realise the real dangerous consequences of it, because I would think in my heart they wouldn't be doing it if they did. Okay, Sabina, it just also makes you wonder too, every time you're walking past there, is there another boulder on its way down as well, which is kind of ruins the whole joy of a park.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, okay. Thanks very much, Sabina. Greg, could you get the owner of the Strand Hotel on the radio, please, to explain himself and his intentions to the community here in Ballybuffet and Inishowen? It's the least we're owed. We've made inquiries. It's up to each individual. We can't compel anyone to do anything, right? But what we can do is invite people on to have that conversation. Padraig wasn't long in speaking about iPass centres when it was... when it was going to his doorstep, will he now talk about the rest of us? They're all, well, the one thing I'll say about Padraig McLaughlin, he's got in trouble nationally about talking about this issue for months on this programme, a long, long time ago, to be honest with you. I'm not a spokesperson for Padraig McLaughlin or other people we're going to be mentioning in a moment. I can only say that consistently, and to be honest with you, with quite a bit of backlash, Deputy McLaughlin has spoken about these places being imposed in certain areas. If the truth be told, if the hotel was suitable to house Ukrainians, why wouldn't it be for an IPAS centre? I don't trust Donegal County Council or any government office. Ballyliff and Clonmany needs a letter from Jim O'Callaghan, Minister for Justice, confirming the reasons why it's no longer under consideration and confirmation, and this is the critical bit, confirmation it won't be in the future. Whoever owns the Strand Hotel, sewerage is a major issue, overflowing into the sea, serious health and safety issues. But again, the argument could be made it was fine for Ukrainians, it was fine as their operating hotel, why wouldn't it be for an IPAS centre? I'm not making that argument. I'm on about in terms of seeking planning, and I'm not sure it's actually the Department of Justice in I think it's the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth that are responsible for the IPAS centres. So you might be barking up the wrong tree with Jim O'Callaghan there. It's a different department altogether. It's the Green guys' former department. They have responsibility. They've responsibility there. How can Padraig say he's being very clear on his stance? This is the first time he's opened his mouth on it. He's only jumping on now because of the growing public outrage. They've been all for it. Again, I will just say, the last time I'll say it is that I've spoken to Deputy McLaughlin on a number of occasions about in different parts of the county centres being placed in there. Greg, this is the government that we all voted for one way or another. We need the different people in charge. It's simple. It doesn't matter all the smart talk we do. We need a change of government. And there was a chance for that recently, of course. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald said no community has a veto on who is moved into their neighbourhood. The double talk and mixed messages is bonkers from Sinn Féin. There are two standing points there. I can't dispute with that. I live in Clonmany and I don't want 150 men placed here. If the government stopped all these people coming into the country, this wouldn't be happening. Most are economic migrants, which the government themselves have stated. Greg, all these IPAS centres are a quick way for landlords or property owners to get money at any expense. I know because I work in the public services and see it firsthand. It is disgraceful. It, just before I read the rest of that message, it's remarkable that one individual and business colleagues of that one individual can receive €140 million. And there are people in this county that are now made for life off the back of this stuff. But anyway, how come the wealthy affluent areas in Dublin were able to go to court and successfully win their cases that no IPAS centres be in their areas? Clearly double standards treating Donegal and Ireland the way they are. Another caller believes greed will win because money is all that matters. The hotels in Dublin have now realised that they've destroyed their businesses and want out of the system, and hence they're being thrown to Donegal. We can't house for defective block families who are far more important. Will the owner of this hotel offer the accommodation to them? Well, at the same rates, presumably. Have to be careful. Greg Hughes, go watch Declan Meehan's speech. First time he stepped down as a councillor. Listen, I read your opinions. I'm not the... it's not for me to decide if Declan Meehan says something right or wrong, or it's not for me to decide if Kim McMenamin says something right or is wrong. That's not... I'm not the guards or the speech police or whatever. We just platform people's views and opinions. To be honest with you, I think people have, and I've always maintained that people are entitled to speak. You might not like what they have to say, but they're entitled to speak. And there are going to be different points of views out there, but it's not, we're not the police of that. And we've mentioned people's dissatisfaction with Councillor Meehan's comments a few times. But it's not for me to call for anyone to be elevated to the position of councillor or to be relegated from it. But I appreciate your comments coming in relation to that. Caller says, I'm sorry, but it's not speed that is the main factor in road traffic collisions. It is negligence by the driver not concentrating, and speed cameras are only there to make money. Getting caught for speeding, you get three punishment fine. You get 3 points and a fine. An increased insurance, one should be enough. Okay, thank you very much indeed. I understand what Leo is saying. This is on road safety as well. And I know the dangers of phones, speeding, differing, etc. But when you think we're advocating for the government to fine us or remove our right to drive, etc., there has to be a better way. Another way, we all slip up, do stupid things and could end up unable to drive. Education is key. Guard it on the road. Maybe sit through a class on talks with a car crash victim or their families. Not they're unbearable sad cases, and we know that works. And this is the problem I have with this, not problem, but just as a motorist or a resident, is that, you know, too much government power is never good in any country, I don't think. And you could find yourself just going about your daily business, make one error and being off the road. So I get where that caller is coming from. Cars diffing and cars acting dangerously on the roads. It's a huge problem in our local area. We have elderly that have stopped walking. I, as a mother, had to put my pushchair in the hedge. Guards have been rang by, have been called many a time. The guards are fully aware of the sheds that these young people are working out of. These sheds need hounding. All right, okay. Busy show, covering an awful lot. Thank you so much for all of your contributions and thanks for listening. We'll be back doing it all again tomorrow morning from 9 o'clock. But for me, Greg Hughes, Caroline Orr, who researched and produced, and Shannon Wilkin working on the show as well, have a great day. Stay safe and stay tuned.